fighting for America.
The risk of using this amendment as a sword rather than the shield that it has been designed or expected is too great.
Fighting for Idaho.
My heart has been touched by this hearing. And I know that from this point on, I will be kinder and I will be more compassionate to those who bear a heavy burden.
Fighting for you.
I move that House Bill 2 be held in committee.
Motion passes 13-4.
I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Our great friend Mike Tracy with us. Talk a little politics, but let's get your movie review. You were telling me this off the air. I thought it was so powerful that we should share it here. You saw the movie American Sniper. Your thoughts?
Well, Kevin, as you know, and I appreciate this. My mom passed away, and we put her in her final resting place on Tuesday last week. And so I was pretty raw emotionally and everything. And but I wanted to see American Sniper for a long time. And when I went to see it, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. There was nothing. I have never experienced that in a movie theater in 40 years. And since I started doing film criticism and film review work from my college days at the University of Idaho, I have never had a film, and I've never seen an audience react to it. The Village Cinema out there in Meridian, the big theater was packed. And at the end of the movie, nobody said a word. You could hear people breathing. You could hear a pin drop. There were men of all ages who had done combat or knew somebody, and they were sitting in their seats crying. It was the most powerful thing I've ever seen in my life. And you know what's really disgusting to me is that Hollywood and television and they disregard what these people do. What our veterans do. My mom was a Korean War veteran, and she got military honors at her gravesite. And it was very moving. My father was a Korean War veteran as well. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran in the Air Force. I didn't have to go over, thank God. But, you know, it really made me think about the power of the media, the power of what one man can do, and the power of a lot of things. And, while a lot of people were celebrating yesterday, having a great time with the Super Bowl, you know, there's a lot of people that are dying on our behalf right now and defending our country overseas and doing a lot of things, maybe sometimes covert, sometimes overt, trying to make sure that you and I can say what we want on this radio station right now and are willing to give the ultimate sacrifice.
I got goosebumps during the Super Bowl yesterday when they went to Afghanistan, and just amazing with the sacrifice. And you're right, Mike, we forget, and we shouldn't forget. In this movie, true story.
Well, and I didn't even watch because I was helping other people. I could care less about a game anymore. I really could. And
well, that blows this segment. We were going to have you do review and analysis of the Super Bowl.
You know what? What those people do is just dandy, mm-hmm. and it's great fun, but it's a game.
Right.
And while they were having fun, we have a pastor that's still a prisoner in Iran. We have people who are prisoners overseas. We have men and women who are doing things for us on our behalf, while everybody was partying up and having a good time yesterday. You know, and that's okay. That's America. But you know what? We need to be reminded, and I think frequently, and you do it frequently, and I appreciate that, you know, and I don't do it enough. I don't personally do it enough. And I appreciate the fact that you remind me. I'm sorry I'm so emotional about this.
Okay.
But it is, I don't know that I've ever felt so strongly. And part of it is the rawness of losing someone, the grief that people go through. And I doubt very seriously that there's anybody listening to your program today that hasn't gone through some grief, because you have a pretty conservative audience. You have some liberals out there too, and I suspect they've lost people as well. But, you know, these veterans, they lose a lot. Sometimes they lose their minds when they go over and they come back. And sometimes they never get back. And we talk about it a lot, and we give it a lot of lip service. There's one thing I agree with Bernie Sanders on. It's probably the only time I've ever agreed with the socialist senator from Vermont. And I actually posted it on my personal Facebook page last week. And he said, we can spend trillions on a war, but we can't spend billions on our veterans. And, you know, they deserve everything that we can give them and then some. And while I was working for the senator, Senator Larry Craig, when he was chairman of the Armed Services Committee, we had huge increases during that period of time. We doubled, quadrupled spending during that period of time when I was in the Senate. But it still wasn't enough. Part of that is a lot of bureaucracy. But the other thing I got to experience that was beautiful was how well my mother was taken care of when they life-flighted her to the Boise VA about 3 weeks ago. And the care she got for six solid days, 24/7, she had almost a private nurse. She had a 1-to-3 doctor-to-patient ratio with her doctor. Her respiratory therapist, probably a 1-to-3 ratio, the 24/7. I mean, her care was unbelievable. The Boise VA hospital supplied the best care I have ever seen anywhere. I've been in a lot of hospitals, and I've been in St. Luke's and St. Al's a lot, and they could learn a lot from Boise Veterans Hospital ICU. I can't speak for the rest of it because I spent 6 days in there while they were trying to bring my mom back to life, and they couldn't do it. And her wishes were very clear to all of us. I'm the oldest sibling of four. They were very clear. She didn't want to live as a vegetable, and she didn't want to be on life support. So there was also a very compassionate palliative care doctor, an end-of-life doctor, who said, here's what we can do. Here's how to do it. Incredible people. I mean, unbelievable service that they're giving to the veterans every day that we don't know about. And I walked through the facilities while I was there, too, and I saw a lot of veterans being taken care of in lots of different ways. And I don't know. I can't speak to the rest of the facilities. But I do know that one thing I'm very proud of in my service is that I was able to give some time and spend some time with veterans and assist on casework and do a lot of other things. And I'm sorry I blew up your segment, but, you know, I don't think we can talk about this issue enough. And I there's a lot of other things that make noise in our lives. But that movie really changed the way I looked at things. And I was, you know, I was slated, if I had stayed in, I was slated to be a pilot and go fly in Vietnam. That's what I was going to do. That's what I signed up for. And that's what I started training for and working for in 1972 before I went in. My whole goal was to fly jets. And, you know, I figured I was going to fly something. I didn't know what I was going to fly. I didn't know if I was going to drop bombs or fly jets or transports or what I would do. But, you know, I just felt very strongly that, you know, I was raised by a Marine and a Navy wave. And my father instilled it into me. That's what you do. When the country calls, you serve. And I shared this with a fellow veteran who's had almost 30 years, but didn't have to do a lot of combat, but did some. And he said, Mike, don't be embarrassed about your service. You've already done more than 99% of the people in the country. Because there is some guilt. I had friends who died in Vietnam, and there's guilt associated with. There's guilt with guys, especially that come back and their buddies are dead. And maybe I'm just being cliche this morning about everything, but it just all of this really touched me in ways that that I've never experienced before, and I don't know that I'll experience again. I fully expect Hollywood to ignore the accomplishment of Clint Eastwood. You know, to me, he did one of the most patriotic things he could possibly do by making that film and letting people see exactly what's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of people trying to do the right things out there and working hard to do it. And at the same time, you know, there are a lot of people in Hollywood that are trying to do these kinds of things, but the majority of those folks could care less, and they show it every day.
Mike Tracy with us, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580-KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Mike, we take a look at the historic week last week here in the Idaho legislature with the Add the Words hearing, 3 days of emotional testimony. You had the vote on Thursday. As a man that lives and breathes Idaho and national politics, your thoughts on what we heard and what we witnessed?
Well, the first thing is that I thought that the chairman was extremely generous with the way that he handled it. My experience with the Idaho legislature over the last 30 years was a lot of times chairmen not only can just kill the bill and leave it in their drawer the entire session, you know, I've seen chairmen take those kinds of situations and say, we're going to take one for and one against, one for and one against. We know all the folks in, you know, all the folks that have gathered from the North End, you know, and that's where the majority of them, we've heard from District 19. What about the other 34 districts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, that to me was, I think, very frustrating and made it probably more of a circus because the state house is in the North End. And, you know, I see that happen with a lot of things in the Boise area, and it's what frustrates people in Idaho about Boise and this great state of Ada. I lived in Pocatello for 11 years, the Minnetkaja area for 3 years, the Moscow area for 6 years. They call it Port Neuf Paranoia in Pocatello. You know, there's a lot of different names that they have for it across the state. But what we saw was a clear representation, you know, regardless of what the outcome was, you know, a majority of the people that were there were not from outside of North Boise. You know, regardless of how you feel on the issue one way or the other, what about the other 34 districts? There's been a lot of discussions about how other people can actually give testimony in the legislature, and some good ideas have been brought forward. The rest of the state is very, very underrepresented when it comes to those kinds of hearings. People who live in Boise get to have the opportunity to overrepresent an issue like that. You know, and I'm sure you've heard from a lot of your listeners and a lot of people across the state that were really frustrated that they didn't have the opportunity. Yes, they may have sent emails, letters, whatever, but they couldn't stand at that podium. They couldn't sign up and stand at that podium and say what they really felt. And that's why you saw such a lopsided number of people from one side to the next.
Let's continue that coming up next with Mike Tracy, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO, time for traffic.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
823, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Mike Tracy with us. So, you as a consumer of politics, of media, professional in both, what did you make of the coverage of the Add the Words? Did that raise the expectations? I've been pretty tough on the media here. Did that raise the expectations of the folks and cause more pain after the committee voted 13-4 not to move it on? I mean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was, I knew it was dead on arrival. I mean, I know the committee makeup. I know the House makeup, the Senate makeup. It was DOA. Regardless of what the language was, this particular legislature, and you know, other than the four Democrats, I had no doubt. You know, the individuals who voted no have to go back to their constituents. Their constituents didn't want them to vote for that particular piece of legislation, whether or not they heard, if they'd heard 300 or 3,000 people stand up there and give their testimony. They have to go back to their districts. They have to go back to their home districts, the other 34 districts other than 19.
Right.
And, you know, we've got some swing districts in Boise, 16, 17, and 18. But you go to Western Ada County, and, you know, it's all Republican out there. Yeah. So this county is split right down the middle. And, you know, when you get outside of Boise, it's one of the reasons Dave Beter's never run for anything outside of the city of Boise. He would get slaughtered outside of the city of Boise. And so would most of the people on city council. I've only seen one person successfully move from city council in recent years, Jim Tibbs, to the Ada County Commission. And that's because Jim is respected and perceived as, you know, a Republican. He might be kind of a in the middle or a rhino or a squish. You know, we have a lot of different terms for him in our business.
Right.
But the bottom line is that he's, you know, he's built that respect over a long career. But I doubt very seriously whether there's anybody on the city council, and no disrespect to them, that they could win anything on a broader base outside of these city limits. So they have their constituency here, and they respond to their constituency. Same thing is true in other parts of the state. You know, the city council members, commissioners, whoever they are, they have to respond. And if they don't, they get unelected. It's, you know, sometimes they get recalled. They don't even wait till the next election.
Right.
We see the thing called recall. You know, that's one of the great things about our system is if people don't do their jobs, they can be thrown out of office. And I think there's something to be said for that.
Speaking of someone who won't be thrown out of office is the governor. He's had successful surgery. He pretty much, I think, has an endorsement to whatever agenda he wants. What do you see his role in the upcoming legislative session?
Well, I think he's, you know, I think Butch has clearly set out his agenda. And I think that for the most part, you're going to see the majority of the legislature line up with him on. There's probably 90-95%. It's going to be the 5-10% of those things that the media will focus on where there's conflict. And, you know, that's what we do.
Right.
That's what I was when I was on your side of the desk and I was doing news for 10 years. That's what you do. You know, there's a lot of jokes about it and we don't need to talk about those. But the things that lead are the things that are controversial. And it's not a story when Butch and the legislature agree on something and there's a bill signing. Because, you know, 90% of the legislature agreed with Butch and they signed on it. It's just not, you know, I think that Butch is going to push for some things that he wants. You know, there's, I don't think people in this state still have a stomach for tax increases. I think people believe that there are still ways to do a better job with the money that they have in their hands.
Well, then how do you see the increases in education that have been proposed by both the state school superintendent and the governor and the possible road tax or the gas tax increase? How do you see those playing out?
First of all, I think there'll be plenty of education spending increased. I don't see that as a problem at all. That's going to happen. I do believe, though, that there's going to be issues with the legislators, and there's going to be a lot of fighting about any kind of gas tax increase because it didn't take very long for us to hit the bottom on gasoline prices dropping. They got down to about 179. They're back up to 185, and who knows, you know, who knows why those mysteries of gas prices going up and down in not only in Idaho but around the world. We're not in control of that. I don't control. That's not something I can control. But one thing that people in Idaho can control is whether there's a gas tax or not. And, you know, I don't know if there's the stomach for it. Do we need more money for road construction? Absolutely. How do we get it? That, you know, smarter people than me are going to have to figure that out. What I do know, though, is people are tired of paying taxes and they're tired of their money being wasted on other things. And I think this legislature is pretty conservative. Tax bills have to start in rev and tax, and House rev and tax, as you may know. And you don't see a lot of tax increase bills come out of that committee. It's pretty conservative. And the chairman's conservative and most of the members are conservative. And a tax increase is not going to happen if it can't get out of that committee.
What should we be looking for? Anything? We've looked at gas tax. We've looked at education. Anything that you see coming up?
Well, I just think passing a balanced budget is critical. And that's, you know, not only passing a balanced budget, but I think that one of the things that's been happening, you know, I do a lot of work with Ron Crane, as you know,
sure.
And, you know, he talks about frequently about the rainy day fund. And I think that that's saved us in the downturn. If we hadn't had that rainy day fund in place, and I can't remember what the exact number was, but I think we had an excess of $200 million in the rainy day fund. If that hadn't have been in place, we would have been in real trouble. We think we saw cuts. There would have been a lot more in terms of cuts. I think building the rainy day fund to a certain percentage is the prudent and really frugal way to approach things. And there's a lot of my liberal friends out there that don't agree with me on that. But if it can happen once, it can happen again. And there's no reason when we've got $17-18 trillion in national debt, you know, we are in a very precarious position in the United States. I hear Senator Jim Risch say it all the time. We're broke. We're broke. I mean, that's pretty blunt. We are broke. And he tells constituents and groups and organizations all the time that go in there, we're broke, folks. Your cause is great. Your cause is just. But we don't have any money. And the Idaho legislature is, thank God we have a balanced budget amendment in Idaho. We've needed one for decades in the United States Congress, and we don't have it. And you've heard people talk about it. I think, I know my former boss was one of the leaders, and it came close many, many times, but it hasn't happened yet. That is probably one of the greatest things that we have in place that our framers in Idaho put in place was that balanced budget amendment.
Mike Tracy, we always appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate you letting me vent just a little bit today.
We love the venting. And come back again.
Thank you.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Then put your little hand in mine.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again? And that must mean that we're up here at Gobbler's Knob, waiting for the forecast from the world's most famous groundhog weatherman, Punxsutawney Phil.
I got you.
And if you're a fan of Punxsutawney Phil, 6 more weeks of winter. By the way, it's funny, I kind of know the guy that film's based on. Anyway, 8:38, Kevin Miller in the morning. Do want to thank Mike Tracy for joining us, Dave Petzo for joining us, and for you each and every morning. We know you have a lot of choices, and we're honored to be a part of it. Phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, yesterday was the Super Bowl, I guess the official end to the football season, and we have a lot of folks making comments on it.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
There we have it. I think no better venue or day really elevates Chris Troupas' thoughts here. And, you know, I was looking at some of the commentators and what they were saying. They say it's official. The Super Bowl is just like Thanksgiving, just like the 4th of July. And I go, wow. I never knew a celebration of a private sporting event rivaled our Independence Day or the day we give thanks to God for America. I guess we've really jumped the shark on that one. But there are a few things that we can talk about here concerning the Super Bowl. Whether you're work, wherever, at church, you're at the supermarket, everybody's going to say, he should have run the ball. Should have run the beast mode. Everybody's an expert. Now, as many of you know that follow me, Kevin, at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, we're always looking for more followers. We'd appreciate a follow there, or Kevin Miller Show on Facebook, or at 580KIDO. You know I'm a Patriots fan. But I think there are a couple things that kind of disturbed me about Seattle yesterday. And I'd like to hear from some Seahawk fans. And if you want to talk about the game, that's great. If you want to think that Coach Pete Carroll made a good call, bad call, 580-5436. But there are a couple things. Number one, just the behavior of the Seahawks. And again, I say this with respect because we have a lot of Seahawks that listen to this program, a lot of Seahawk fans. In fact, what was it? There were 4 states that voted for the Seahawks, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and Indiana, maybe 5, maybe Alaska. And so you have a lot. And when your team loses, there's not a worse feeling, really. I wish we had this passion when it came to fighting Obamacare, or it came to comes to fighting the illegals, or any of these issues. I wish we had that. I mean, if we had a tenth of it, we'd have a much more highly representative government, right? But I'm sitting there watching a couple things, and I finally figured out during the game, one of the Seahawks, when he scored a touchdown, he got a 15-yard penalty. And the reason why he did it is after he scored a touchdown, he made it look like he was going to the toilet, and the football was his excrement. Right. What does that have to do with football? And then kind of the conflicting messages of the NFL, where you have Katy Perry, and it was kind of, I don't want to dare say creepy, but it was kind of disconcerting when our friend Jeff Manasseh goes, I can't wait to watch Katy Perry. I mean, the NFL audience is 40 or 50-year-olds with families. Did Katy Perry really resonate? And then we, you know, have, you know, Missy Elliott. I had to tell Mrs. Miller who Missy Elliott was or is. You know, Lenny Kravitz singing the song I Kissed a Girl, which not a big fan of. Just the messages, the overt messages being sent. And, you know, I miss the days of Joe Montana or Jim Kelly or Terry Bradshaw, where it was about the game and everybody tries to one-up each other. And getting back to the behavior of the Seahawks, you have Pete Carroll high-fiving everybody. Hey, it's great, but I would think that he'd have more control over his team and some of their classless acts, like at the end of the game where, look, they get into a fight. Now, Richard Sherman, very outspoken young man, brilliant young man, successful young man. He took it like a man. Russell Wilson took it like a man. My point being, at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, I believe that athletes have a responsibility. You know, people are marveling at Marshawn Lynch, not for being the most physical running back since Earl Campbell that I can recall, but for the fact that he doesn't talk to the media and he doesn't want to talk to the media. It's your job to talk to the media. It was almost like a clash of generations. You had the 37-year-old Brady, Belichick, the third oldest coach to win the Super Bowl, against the upstart Seahawks that just represented a different era, a different generation, where they were so good that discipline really didn't apply to them. And I kind of related to the Patriots. We've all been to big dances. We've made mistakes. We've lost. They've come back. But I thought to myself, it would be nice that if the Super Bowl really, you had people behaving appropriately. And again, you know, the big talk this week is going to be, we should have run the football. Well, nothing's guaranteed.
If anyone really kept an eye on what's going on, the Roland Riley route was kind of cleaned yesterday. We didn't tell anybody.
There we have some of the Patriots fans all excited and such. You know, the Seahawks, like a lot of people, wait till next year. I'm sure that the fans in Green Bay can relate.
Second and nine. Brady throws, caught, LaFell, touchdown.
Oh, you think to yourself, if you're a Seahawks fan, you think to yourself, man, it's brutal. I don't want to watch any of the highlights. I want to listen to Kevin Miller because he's not talking sports, and now I'm talking sports. But at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, you know, was it one of the best games ever? I would say yes. And if the Patriots had lost, I would still say it was one of the best games ever. And what made it so great is the ebb and the flow. And like I said before, I would have liked to have seen some more class acts from the Seahawks.
What a comeback. All Brady, baby. All Brady.
Now you're going to have to put up with those obnoxious New England people till the next Super Bowl. By the way, it's interesting when you think about it. New England is getting 16 inches of snow in Boston. So apparently now the Patriots might not even get there, get to fly in, or their Super Bowl parade might be snow covered and such. But anyway, I digress. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Again, that's the big thing that people are talking about today. The president with his new budget going on and on and on, $4 trillion. Whether it passes Congress, we'll have to see.
I'm so overjoyed, I can't even tell you.
This is the most exciting day of my life.
Let's take it from there. The most exciting day of her life. So we have people that, you know, some people paid, what was it, $10,000 for a ticket? Now, maybe if you fly in your private jet, maybe if you have a good time, you know, You can eat at these fancy restaurants. And again, no class warfare here. You know, just as Mike Tracy was talking about earlier, a good point by Mr. Tracy. There's a lot of good that you can do with 10 grand now. And again, a lot of people will sit back and say, look, I have 10 grand. I'm going to the Super Bowl. But the happiest day of her life, really? Let's go to Lawrence in Boise with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Kevin. The reason the New England Patriots won is because they weren't playing the New York Giants. They're the only ones that can beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. They need Tom Coughlin over there on the sidelines with Eli Manning at quarterback. The Giants are so nice, they did it twice. Four others tried and four others died. Don't cry, Seattle. Your 12th man needs a big handkerchief. Send away to New Jersey Meadowlands. You'll get plenty.
I was happy not to see the Giants, I'll tell you that, Lawrence.
So was I. They didn't have a good team this year, but when they did, they sure knew how to handle the New England Patriots.
What do you make of the Seahawks' reaction when they got in a fight after the game?
You know, going into the game, I haven't Boise, Idaho is my hometown for the last 31 years. I would normally would have been rooting for Seattle, but you know, they're dirty. They're the most punished team in the NFL. That they act like you know, they're swaggering like they're unbeatable. Nobody likes that. You know, there's poor sportsmanship, and it reflects the head coach. I'm sorry, he acts like he's you know, performing for the camera, as if there's, you know, a show being made about the head coach of the great winning team, instead of acting like a head coach. You look at Coughlin, you look at the Green Bay head coach, you look at a lot of these guys, they're acting like a head coach, not like a cheerleader running up and down the sidelines. Like, you know, basically you see high school coaches behaving with more dignity than you see in Pete Carroll.
I was surprised at his behavior in the third quarter, and I'm going, he seems very confident. Didn't have that confidence in the fourth quarter. And you think about it. Look, I'm no brain surgeon, Lawrence, but here's the skinny on this. If you have Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, don't you just run them in the third quarter?
No, because you have to, you know, if you're an offensive head coach, you're thinking that the defense is going to be focusing on, you know, off tackle and up the middle. If they stuff the ball, we got to use that last timeout. We're still having two shots at the end zone, but you don't want to get stuffed. You're running out of time. So you try to come up with what would be a surprise, what you think would be open. If that defensive back had not moved when he did, he would not have gotten that pass. It would have been a touchdown. So it wasn't really a bad call. It wasn't. Marshawn Lynch could have fumbled. You know, anything's possible.
Well, what do you make of everybody ripping Carroll for that?
I think it's just, you know, either short-sightedness or, you know, people being a sore loser. I hate to say it, but, you know, the Seattle Seahawks lived up to why I was not rooting for them. They were just, you know, sore losers, basically. And, you know, you don't like that, even in sandlot football. You don't like sore losers. You don't like people that don't play clean. And people who do win, you know, if you win with class, you should lose with class. And as far as I'm concerned, Seattle hasn't done either one, and that's why I was rooting for New England.
We appreciate it, Lawrence. Anything you'd like to say to the Seahawks fans?
You know, don't cry. You know, that's football. You know, just, you know, put your chin up. Nobody wins every time at bat. So, you know, look forward for next year. I've seen the 1970s were a terrible year for a terrible decade for the New York Giants. You just remain loyal and you look forward to next year. Everybody can lose. Everybody can have that one play that costs you the game. Like with Green Bay. If that Green Bay Packer had caught the ball, Seattle wouldn't even be there if he had caught that onside kick. So, you know, I mean, you could say, well, they were lucky to be there this year. You know, they're a good team, but, you know, you lost.
Lawrence, thank you for the call.
You bet. Have a good day, Kevin, and thank you for doing your show as well as you do.
I appreciate it, brother. Take care. All right. TPB with KM at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tea Party Bob.
Sounds like you had a great time listening to the game, watching the game yesterday.
You know, I had to get on Mrs. Miller. She said this might be the end of Brady and Belichick. I looked at her and I go, this might be the end of you.
You know, you made a good point this morning that we're more interested in football in a football game than we are in what's happening in our country. You know, I love football just as much as the next guy. You know, but there are so many more important issues that we need to pay attention to, like health care, immigration, and more taxes that we keep getting.
Oh, you heard Mike Tracy talk about that.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I think more people know more people know Brady than they do the name of the current vice president of the United States. I would bet on that. People are spending $10,000 a ticket to watch a game. Gets to be absolutely ridiculous.
How many of those folks voted?
Well, and that's my point here. You know, I think we as Americans have lost our sense of values and a sense of what is really important. And if we don't change, we'll all be standing by while we are taxed to death and lose many of our liberties. I think that the comment that you played by Chris Troupas is very valid, and I think it continues to be valid today as it was the first day he said it.
Tea Party Bob, new issue of the Gem State Patriot out, coming to gemstatepatriot.com. Thank you. 45 pages. Jeez.
Yep. Hey, listen, you're out there on page 20.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's an honor.
Take care, my friend.
All right, our great friend Tea Party Bob. Time for traffic.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:57, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, Glenn Beck. And don't forget, you can get your tickets to the Boise Music Festival going on sale today. It's going to be a great one. It always is. It amazes me just how many people come to the Treasure Valley to perform, both the local acts and, of course, not only that, but the national acts as well. And they always come away impressed. That's at BoiseMusicFestival.com. Or give them a like on Facebook and you'll get special deals, special updates as well. Time for traffic, 580 KID. And this just in, hard to believe that Johnny Manziel has entered a treatment program. We don't know for what. Shocking that Johnny Manziel has entered a treatment program. 8:59, Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up again, don't forget this afternoon, Sean Hannity. This week, we're going to take a look at whether or not you're inclined to spend more of your money when we're talking about an increase in the gas tax here in Idaho or across the country. And speaking of a gas increase, can the good times continue? Well, all of a sudden we're hearing that gas prices might be going up, and you know what that means. So if you're going to take a flight, you're going to go somewhere, enjoy it while you can. Personally, I think that gas prices are just about normal right now. Can you imagine filling up your tank, which used to cost you $50, now costing you $20? Let's make that fantasy a reality. Anyway, appreciate y'all listening. Have a great day. God bless and keep the faith.